Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL. It's our first edition, summer edition, of the second guest show. Bobby J and I here at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Come on by and visit us. Bobby J and I will be here until 8 o'clock tonight.
Well, Mike, football's here.
It's here.
They're actually tackling. I know the games don't count. And you can't put too much into it. I thought Jeff Duncan, Mike, and you know Saints history. I thought this was interesting when he said this. It made me chuckle. You look at NFL preseason football games, okay? Well, what do you get? Never look at the score. You look at who you're evaluating, when in the game, who they're competing against. And if you look at it, okay, in 2000, in this example he gave, in 2000 and 2006, the Saints won only one of their four preseason games, so they were 1-3. Then they went on to go 10-6 with their record in the regular season. They won their division. So that's why, you know, fans sometimes, no, it's not all measured the same. You're evaluating the talent, how they're going to contribute for this upcoming season. And then conversely, he says, you look at the Saints' inaugural season in 1967.
Yep.
They played six preseason games. They were 5-1. And they finished 3-11. You know, they only played 14 games, but they were 3-11 and ended up finishing in last place in the NFL Capital Division. So that's why, you know, we always did, Mike, when we were in the late 80s, early 90s, and we were winning. Like with Mara, he wanted you, okay, or when you're in there, are you winning or losing? Not the outcome of the game. And it seems like we're almost always 2-2. You know, it wasn't like, we're really rolling into the season. I remember one time we were kicking the Steelers behind. We were up like 28-0 at half, and we lost.
What?
I played the first half, and then we lost like 31-28 or so. So that's why don't look at the final score with the Jaguars coming to town on Sunday. I'm intrigued with that. Because, Mike, who does everybody want to see like Shedeur Sanders?
Man, Travis Hunter.
Travis Hunter. You know, you want to see, like, okay, it looks like he's going to play more
Both
receiver
spots.
Than the corner, but more like 70, 80% receiver. You know, he has to help out the Prince. He has to, their quarterback. You know who has to do something to get off the pot?
Trevor Lawrence.
My guy. And so I'm kind of intrigued just to see him up close. And but to have a long career, I don't know if you could truly be a two-way player all the time. Maybe some of the time, or because, Mike, the NFL is too good, you won't last.
Okay, Dion did it part-time
yes.
as a receiver.
Champ Bailey.
Roy Green.
Yeah, Roy,
before
with the Cardinals.
They did, with the Cardinals, he played cornerback, wide receiver. He also returned punts and kicks,
yep,
which
yep.
is unbelievable. But to do it full-time, man. You talk about a dude with stamina, he got it. Going back to the 67 year, just think if you were alive back then and watching, and we were kids.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I heard my dad and uncle.
Second, third grade.
Yeah, talking about it and that sort of thing. And you win, you lose the first preseason, win five straight, and on the first play, John Gilliam runs it 94 yards for a touchdown.
Was that against the Rams?
Against the Rams. So, Buddy said, you know, I knew about expansion teams, but he was like, man, is something right with this team? But he said, I didn't think that would be the high mark for the next,
well, was
like
kinda,
5 years till Dempsey kicks the 63-yarder.
Yeah, and it was kind of like last year. Man, we go to the damn Super Bowl. Look how we kicked Carolina and the Cowgirls behind.
That's why the first couple games is a bit of a mirage, too,
in the
regular season.
You have to break it down in quarters. And now they play more than 16 games, so 17. Eventually, they'll go to 18. So then I would break it down in thirds, like six, yeah. six, and six. But you could see kind of where you're training or where you're heading after four games. I like that, like 4, 8, 12, 16, even though they play 17. And you could see, well, man, we might have a top five draft pick. Or Vegas really knew they were talking about the win total over and under at 5.5. So, Mike, we got to wait and see. The Cardinals, that's a very winnable game. But the Cardinals are saying, well, that's a very winnable
what?
Game for them.
That's all they say in Arizona.
Yeah, and then you got the 49ers. The 49ers are probably the number one favorite in the NFL from worst to first. Mike, they won six games last year. You know how it does matter who's healthy and who's not healthy? You know the 49ers, now think about this. How it went kind of from the penthouse to the outhouse because everybody was hurt. They were 6-11, and they're not a 6-11 team.
Not if you have a healthy McCaffrey, and even more important than him, I think,
the tackle?
Trent Williams.
Yeah, Trent Williams.
Man, Trent Williams, people say, oh, he's an old man. What? That old man can play. That's all I know about Trent Williams.
Well, Mike,
man, Trent can flat out play.
And I think that's going to, you know, who could be a dark horse, maybe get over the hump? Because if I look at the Chargers and Jim Harbaugh, what he wanted to do, really, their defense kicked ass last year. They had the number one scoring defense, giving up 17.5 points a game. They had the top 10 defense. But, Mike, they were like the Saints. I had said this earlier. The Saints and the Chargers are the only NFL team out of 32 teams that had four first-round picks as potential starters. That's what they invested in. Then they paid the highest-paid tackle.
Rashawn Slater goes down.
And then, what, a dislocated kneecap?
And so he's out for the year.
Yeah.
And so now they're going to move Joe out, who had played left tackle all his life.
They're going to move him back to left.
They're going to move him back to left tackle. But who fills the right tackle spot? Bob, one of the things yesterday afternoon that jumped out at me, it was the physicality of the Chargers' defensive line going up against the Saints' offensive line. What? The Saints tried to run the ball a little bit.
No,
they slammed the door on them, and they had pressure on Spencer Rattler virtually every play. Either it was coming from the edge or from the middle. It goes to show you the depth that Jim Harbaugh has built along their defensive line. You want to see the difference in teams? Look at what the Chargers defensive front did against the Saints offensive line. They beat them from pillar to post.
Well, we just better hope it. And now Trevor Penning, how hurt is he? I mean, I don't know.
I don't know.
You know,
but Bob, he didn't look good before he got hurt.
He got the holding penalty. You can't slam the body to the ground. Because you know what the officials told me one time? Whenever they see a lineman throw another big lineman to the ground, well, is there peripheral vision? Oh, he must have tackled him or grabbed him
and threw him.
What you need to do is don't panic. It's like they're doing a stunt. It's just get in front of them. You don't have to always dominate your opponent. You have to chicken fight. You just have to get in front of them. But, Mike, you're talking about in regard to us running the football. No, same song
and
dance.
That's lousy.
You can't give up 4.5 yards a run, and we average 3 yards. Now, Spencer Rattler was 7.3, but look at Kendre Miller, 2.5. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 1.5. Look at Jones. Bayless Jones tried to do a little sweep tackling. Like he had minus one. So we have to be able to run the ball to help our young quarterbacks. But Spencer Rattler, all he has to look at this is an opportunity. Okay, your pocket presence, even though maybe the offensive line is not blocking well, you still got to protect the football. You cannot get a you can get sacked, but don't get a strip sack where, Mike, it's not a pick six or it's not a scoop and score, but it changes the momentum of a game whenever you have that turnover.
One of the guys you told me about to kind of keep an eye on, and, okay, Will Clapp goes down early at center. So Torricelli Simpkins comes in. I saw Torricelli when he was at South Carolina. He actually started at North Carolina Central and then transferred to South Carolina. He came in there. I was impressed with him. He's a big dude playing center. He's a 6'5", 300, whatever they list him. I think his second number is probably a 3 on that 330, whatever. And I like the way he handled things from a presence standpoint. And he was thrown into there much quicker than he thought. And to be honest, I think their thoughts were, let's play him
at guard, and then
play him a little bit at center later on in the game.
You
got to play now.
Because Will Clapp getting hurt. Because the Saints always has those diamonds in the rough as far as like free agents. And now I don't know what his injury is. You look along the defensive line. You look at the offensive line. So you look at Simpkins. The rookie out of South Carolina, a free agent, it didn't matter if you were drafted or not drafted, they're going to give him an opportunity. But the other individual, and he's almost like a free agent, and one is a free agent. Now, Jasheen Davis, man, he was doing awesome in practice, the rookie from Wake Forest. I think he was hurt. He might have got hurt in California in practice. He was not available. They don't have to give an injury report. So, you don't know, but you know who showed up, Mike? Seventh round and the Saints have done good in the seventh round. Diggs.
Diggs.
From Syracuse.
I saw a lot of him when he was at A&M. He went that last year to Syracuse.
So what, he transferred from A&M?
Transferred that final year. He left A&M. He goes to Syracuse. He was a highly recruited football player. I think he was the Gatorade Player of the Year.
He's from New Jersey. Yeah.
And he goes to A&M now by that time.
They probably paid him.
Oh, yeah. What? They paid everybody. They didn't get a lot of production out of that, but they certainly got paid. And then his last year, he was like, you know what? I'm going to go back home. Went to Syracuse. I like what I see of him. And he's really quick twitch athlete.
Well, Mike, he was second in the team in tackles. With four, he had three unassisted. He had a sack. He had a tackle for a loss. So he caught the coach's attention. These three guys, because one of these guys had to show up. You can't just look like Tarzan. You got to play like Tarzan. You know, we don't want no Tarzan Jane syndrome. We want like Tarzan versus Tarzan was Mike, the Texas linebacker.
Jalen Ford, yeah.
If you look at it, 6'2", 240, looks the part, Mike, and we count on him. You know, okay, whenever you're a draft pick, he's like a fifth-round pick. But, Mike, he ended up leading the team in tackles, eight total tackles, five unassisted. So that caught my attention. But who really caught my attention, and you got to love it, one of those Dakota Stallbird. Stallbird, Mike. You want to talk about it? When I don't know, I'd like to tell a few stories about him. Here he's from Kearney, Nebraska. Isn't Shanley from Kearney, Nebraska?
And Scott was with this
eight-man football, whatever. But I'm looking at like Stallbird. I mean, here he is, 6'1", 215, so kind of a tweener, like from but South Dakota State Jackrabbits. Well, look at Stallbird. He had four total tackles, three unassisted, a tackle for a loss, but on special teams. You know how you say, watch what happens on special teams? Mike, he had all-pro stats.
He really had four tackles
in a game on special teams, three unassisted, one assist. Mike, now you're not going to average that every game, but if you do 17 times three or four, you all-pro. I look at Chris Banjo, and you look at JT Gray, you know, that kind of production with tackles. So, Mike, Stallbird, I guarantee you, I don't know if he'll make the Saints roster or whatever, but I know the other teams are realizing what he did on special
his
teams.
His best shot certainly is on special teams. Okay, when he went to his individual day, okay, would they list him at 6'1"?
Yeah, Mike, if you look at it, okay.
You know what he measured it
like
at?
6'1", 215.
5'11 and a half.
Oh, so they fudged it.
Fudged a little bit.
Well, that's like the Hayner. Hayner ain't no 6'1".
No way.
He's not even 6'1 with his cleats on. He's probably like 6 feet with his cleats on. That's the one thing you see with the quarterbacks. Tyler Shuck looks like an NFL
dude quarterback.
Yeah. Spencer Rattler's little, too. When you look at it, like, and what I mean by little, Spencer Rattler, they have him at 6 foot. He's probably 6 foot with his cleats on. I think Spencer Rattler's taller than Jake Hayner. But Tyler Shuck looks like a 6'5 quarterback. Because I've stood by Tyler Shuck. Damn, he's way bigger than me.
He is.
And you know, and I'm looking at it, I think I shrunk a little bit, and I'll be 65 August 19th. But I was never 6'4". They put 6'4 in the program because they rounded up or rounded down. I was 6'3 three quarters. Now I'm definitely 6'3". I know I'm not 6'4". But when you see, you know, you don't think that makes a difference. But it's just the mindset with Tyler Shuck and what they have invested in him. He looks the part. He looks the part more than Spencer Rattler or Jake Hayner.
The way he ran that two-minute drill. We'll come back and talk about that right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on the second guest show, Mike to tell you along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live at the Silver Slipper Casino, Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. We'll be here until 8 o'clock tonight. Come on by and talk to us and talk a little bit of Saints football or whatever you want to talk about. Bob, one of the things with Tyler Shuck, I was impressed. Two-minute offense, it was, you know, basically Spencer Rattler, and then at the end it was, hey, kid, get in there and get us in field position. He was able to do so, so I had a friend of mine text me, man, what is this, Mike? Three-state slant passes. My thing is, keep throwing it until they stop it.
Man,
he hit on all three.
I ain't bitching at that. I threw a bunch of slants there at Martin. can you move the chains? First down, Saints. You know, then you hit a chunk play. People think he just bombs away all the time. What the hell are you talking about? Now they're squatting on routes. That's how we got a touchdown. Then you do a double move. And look how open Tipton was. Man.
It was
man,
a little stutter and then go
man,
a field.
Man, he kind of bobbled that. I'm like, man, you better not
I
drop that.
I think he might have lost it in the sun
but
a little
bit. But he did catch it, so it was a touchdown. And, no, I'm a Mason Tipton fan, so... maybe it wasn't just him playing in Jefferson Parish. He actually did something good out in L.A.
Yeah, he graduated from that old airline drive.
Because we needed that, Mike. You got to have those explosive plays, and it's how you handle adversity. You look at Tyler Shuck. Now, you got to give him credit. You know, Mike, when you look at an individual trying to make a team, don't you think if you're doing Chargers radio, Rodgers, if you look at that cat. Okay, here he had four total tackles, two interceptions, a pick six, and three pass defending, a tackle on special teams.
Made some plays yesterday.
But I'm saying you can never let a defensive back or anything sit on your routes and cheat. That's why, even though Tyler Shuck, he comes up with the pick six with the interception, Mike, he doesn't pout. He's able to, and he should. He's old enough, able to handle the adversity. And then all of a sudden, it's a 43-yard touchdown pick six. Now we're losing 17-3. But then, Mike, then he bounces back. And then we recognize the coaching staff and the players recognize the Chargers were sitting on the routes. So on the next drive, the very next drive, Shuck hit and makes it to the 54-yard touchdown on a deep bomb down the field. That's what you want to see. I would rather see not a pick six. I'd rather see an interception and then a big touchdown pass, then a big touchdown pass, then an interception. You know, because that means, okay, you have an adversity and how you bounce back. And that, to me, Tyler Shuck. And, Mike, like you were saying, getting in a field goal range, he looked very comfortable when he led the Saints. A minute 38 seconds left on a 10-play, 52-yard drive that resulted in a Blake Groupie field goal just before halftime. See, you're getting points. Something as simple as that. You might think, well, Bobby, there's nothing to write home about, but that's productivity.
For a rookie player?
Yeah.
Man, listen, you did your job. Who made that play, though? Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Watch it again. There's a secondary guy running through the gap, and Clyde did what he did at LSU for Joe Burrow. He stoned him in that gap, and he gave Tyler enough time to get the ball out, and it was an easy throw to tip him, but that play would not have happened had Clyde not been aware of that guy coming right up the seam to go after Shuck.
Well, that's why being a complete running back and not just, oh, I'm a runner. No, you got to know what you have to do in pass protection and not guess. You know, that could be an advantage for him over like a Kendre Miller or whoever like Velus Jones. You can't guess and to know your plays. Okay, can I be an every down back, first, second, third down? It's not just running the ball. Yes, you're a great runner, but can we trust you in a passing situation, third down, where you're not out in the route because the opponent's bringing it? And you got to know who in the hell you got to block, and then you got to block him. You know, so that's what Clyde Evans said. Mike, that bodes well just as a good
that's
run.
That's as good as a 50-yard touchdown for me on a run.
Yes, because the quarterback, the coaches could trust you that if you're in that situation, you know what you're doing.
I remember Joe Burrow telling me the story about they were playing Auburn. And he said, man, Steele was giving them all these different looks. And he said, one play, I didn't see it till he was right there. The safety had run up to the line of scrimmage, ran back, but it was a delayed blitz. And he said, man, I'm waiting for Justin to get open downfield, Jefferson. All of a sudden, at the corner of my eye, I see that safety, and he's rolling right up the gap. And Clyde catches him, and he used that term, and I've said it too. He wheelbarrowed him. He caught him low, and he said he just kind of dumped right in front of him. He said it kind of shook him up. He kind of fell on his head. He's looking around. Joe sort of sidestepped him and was able to get the football throw downfield to Jefferson.
Yeah, instead of getting sacked, you have a big play. And, you know, and then if he would have got sacked, a lot of people don't realize. Like,
look at Burrow.
No. They might say the offensive line sucks.
Yeah.
And they don't realize that when the people are bringing the house, the running back or a tight end, whatever, just as important as the offensive line when you try to pass protect against an opponent that not a four-man rush. I'm talking about when they're trying to confuse your pass blocking schemes and they're going to do stunts. And they're trying to free up somebody. That happened with us. What happened with Little Bryce? Little Bryce, the first game against Carolina last year. How do you think Alante Taylor got three sacks? Because
didn't even adjust to it.
Yeah, that was a game plan. And Alante Taylor, he's finishing. Now, you can't just get a quarterback hurry, a quarterback pressure. But he's finishing. And that's like, oh, the offensive line didn't do their job. And I guarantee you, if I look back at that.
The back went out for the pass twice.
Yeah, and then,
didn't even see him.
And then Bryce didn't realize, because the back's pre-releasing. He's not protecting. I got to dump it off to him. I can't be holding the ball, because then, therefore, you get a sack.
We'll be back with more second guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on the second guest show, Mike D'Antilio along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, the Silver Slipper Casino, Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Bob, let's go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to Hurley. Hurley, you in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Hurley, what you got? Hurley one, two,
Hurley
three.
Hurley once, Hurley twice, all right.
He's taking a nap.
I know you wanted to talk about how the difference was with the chain gang. And now they throw it to the booth when it's a close deal to measure. But it take them so long, man, it's almost like you're waiting for a stop sign to go green.
Well, the thing is,
light never turns.
If you're utilizing technology, then you can't be slower
than what it was before.
Yeah, I mean, if they get it right, and, you know, you should be able to get it you know, like we always look at that beam in tennis. You're watching a tennis match, and you can tell. No, the ball hit the line or didn't hit the line. No, and the ball was sometimes going over 100 miles an hour. You know, umpires can miss calls.
Yeah, you can make a mistake.
Yeah, but either it's in or out. But I think it's all about the process. You got to be fast paced. No matter. That's why when you look at Major League Baseball, what I think now we've accepted is the pitch count. You can't be scratching your butt and going out the batter's box and all that. You know, end up saving 20, 25 minutes by doing that. And you look at the technology, they have it. So if the NFL wants to get it right, like it's a first down or not a first down, it can't be a long process. It has to be, okay, you should be able to do it now. And then
Bob, I saw it numerous games over the weekend. It took them forever.
Well, that's ridiculous.
To make that call. It took them a long time.
Until they get that right, then they don't need to utilize that. They need to go back to the credit card. You know what I mean? That was ridiculous. I think that the official did that for show, you know, to market Mike. Remember that between the ball and the chain and stuff? So
That was
comical.
They got to perfect that particular part of the game, though.
You can't slow down the game.
No.
You know, you're going to have the advertising, you're going to have commercials and all that.
And I get that's what preseason's for, to do it. Just like they call certain things a little closer. To me, I get the initiate contact on the safety, but come on, you can't tell me that wasn't a safety.
Yeah, because the momentum is like almost like, oh, it's forward progress. He got hit on the 1 foot line, and then he ended up in the end zone. I don't know if you look at that finished tackle. To me, that's a old school, new school. That's an everyday school safety. And we could have been winning 2-0. You know what's crazy in that stadium? You know, like you look at the Chargers in the regular season. I think it was on a punt with Taysom Hill. Bad snap, whatever. He blocked it, whatever, and it went out the end zone. We scored 2 points then. So we were able to get like a baseball score against the Chargers with those two runs. But I don't know. That was a safety to me. But, Mike, that's a cat who, if you look at what he's done now in a Saints uniform.
Right. He's the right player in the right position.
So, Mike, he's been maybe the more recognizable Northern Iowa player. You know, Trevor Penning, we want him to produce. Look where you were drafted. But you look at Christian Boyd now going in his second year. Mike, what did we draft? I think it's sixth round pick, but from Northern Iowa. Mike, he had nice stats. If you look at his contribution, he ended up with a tackle, one unassisted tackle. He had a sack, he had a quarterback hurry, and had a tackle for a loss. So you look when you're taking notes, the only other lineman that hung with him as far as numbers was an old Charger that Brandon Staley Chris Rump.
Now, Jonah Williams was another very active guy along that defensive line. Yeah, he was a pretty active guy, but
right.
Rump, a couple times, you could see he was sort of over-anxious, and he got called for a penalty. But Rump is a player that might be a good fit team and part of a rotation.
Yeah, with Brandon Staley, what we're doing, Mike, he ended up with a sack, one quarterback hurry, a tackle for a loss. And I took notes on him in practice. So he was actually, oh, that looks like a quarterback sack. He was getting it to the quarterback. Now, they don't take him to the ground, but he was doing that actually in practice, and he transferred that into the real game against his old team. And this is going in his fifth year, and Brandi Staley, you know, trusted him on that.
And I was telling you, it's a crazy thing about Rumpf is I scouted his dad, who was a linebacker out of South Carolina. He kind of bounced around the NFL, got into coaching.
Is his dad coaching?
He's the defensive line coach at Clemson today.
Whoa.
His dad.
Who's playing the LSU fight.
Playing LSU game one. But Chris Rumpf's dad is actually the defensive line coach at Clemson. He went to South Carolina, so you know he knows the area real well. And, boy, he got two guys there, Peter Woods and T.J. Parker, that can flat-out play. Well, LSU got their hands full in game one with them two guys.
Now, to go off on in that regard, you know, we're talking Saints, but look at LSU. The Associated Press poll came out. Mike, Clemson got, I want to say, three or four first-place votes. So, like, we ranked ninth. LSU's ranked ninth, and Clemson's, like, fourth. I think they're a solid fourth, whether it's the coaching poll or the AP.
My thing is,
it's going to be enough. Mike, if we win at Death Valley Junior, like Coach Kelly called it, that's going to be an upset.
I mean, I agree.
And it has nothing to do whether we're going to make the postseason or not. We just want to get off to a good start because we have not done that. We don't want it to be 5 years in a row that we don't win the opening game.
I think LSU is going to be Clemson's toughest opponent in the regular season. And Clemson's going to be LSU's toughest opponent regular season.
That's a great point.
And they square off week one. Ain't no preseason there. Well, you're just having to play.
Well, the LSU offensive line better pack a lunch. They better because
Nuss better get rid of that football and fast.
Well, you got to help Nuss out a little bit, but you got to run the ball. You can't just pass every play.
Well, I hope they can run it better than they did a year ago.
Yeah, because you can't let like any defensive player. You can't let them pin their ears back and they just help in for leather. You got to be able to, like, okay, I got to play the run first, not just, okay, I'm going to just attack the quarterback and go on my way to the quarterback, then I'm going to play the run.
Last week we had Pete Jenkins on, and Pete was working with the Alabama defensive line. So Saban tells him, Pete, I'm going to get on the phone, talk Peter Woods into coming to Alabama. He's a legacy guy. His dad went to Alabama.
Okay.
Okay. And he was the number one guy. Target guy for them defensively. So, Pete, man, I gave him a speech and everything. Man, you're great here. They got people that can really help you. You can play at the professional level. Pete said within 48 hours he had committed to Clemson. Told him, say, Pete, you lost your touch. He said either that or something else happened. Yeah, the check might have cleared. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he might have got something in the envelope.
Yeah. Know. But Peter Woods, he's going to be a handful for LSU, and so will T.J. Parker. Man, TJ, he is a flash coming off the edge. We'll be back to finish it up here in hour number one of Sports Talk and second guest right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Finishing up here in hour number one of the second guest show, Mike DeTillo along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, will be here until 8 o'clock tonight. When we come back at about 5:10, we'll have on, he's the regular here, Dave Hilbert from the Silver Slipper will join us and tell us things that are happening here at the Silver Slipper Casino right here, Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Come on back, got a lot more football talk, a lot more sports talk right after this news break here on the Big 870 WWL.
And Dave never ages.